The contents of this page have not been reviewed or endorsed by the Chicago Bulls. All opinions expressed by Sam Smith are solely his own and do not reflect the opinions of the Chicago Bulls or their basketball operations staff, parent company, partners, or sponsors. His sources are not known to the Bulls, and he has no special access to information beyond the access and privileges that go along with being an NBA-accredited member of the media.
Hi, this is Sam Smith, and welcome to my weekly podcast. In case you stumbled upon this, and it's a mistake, I think if you just stay with it and listen, I think Jon Stewart's show comes on right after this. And I know I really enjoy that. So, you know, we'll see how that goes. So what's ahead? Let's start. I know I'm supposed to make a bunch of announcements, which I forget. Something to do with iTunes. Subscribe on iTunes. Bulls.com. I don't think they wrote it down for me this week. And I'm kind of limited by senior moments these days. And actually, right then, you know, that was just one. So keep that as recording. That was an interesting one itself. This is an interesting stretch for the Bulls. You know, I say that all the time. So which stretch wouldn't be interesting? Okay, Charlotte. That's not that interesting a stretch. But anyway, I think they've got seven straight games with Western Conference opponents. Actually done pretty good against the West, even though the conference is better than the East. And the Western Conference playoffs, I think, are really going to be entertaining, really good, and really competitive. To the point, I really even think, because I just got a memo from the league and its partner ESPN that now, if you're involved in the NBA and doing any work, you have to mention the Lakers at least every 7 minutes. So I think I got that in, and maybe one or two more coming before I'm done. But that said, you know, I think even though we saw Oklahoma City get by the Clippers last weekend, you know, that's an erratic team without Harden. It's interesting. And we knew Harden was good. He was playing off the bench. He was the best six man in the league. But, you know, maybe we all overlooked what a steadying influence he probably had. Of course, I'm not sure who wouldn't have a steadying influence compared to Russell Westbrook. Oh, maybe Artest or wouldn't. But anyway, highly emotional player, great player, but you know, Oklahoma City gets caught in so much of that one-on-one ball, and to the point where they have to have Durant being playmaker a lot, which is not a great idea since he's the best scorer in the league, and I think you would want him getting the ball with the idea of scoring instead of trying to ease Russell. But that said, they're a legitimate, still a title contender, but move back Spurs as well, and I'll get into that, and that's what we call in the media a clever transition. I wasn't thinking about it, but it just sort of stumbled upon me. So I remembered what I was talking about. That being the Bulls' current stretch coming up, starting in San Antonio with Tony Parker. You know, it's interesting that was a really gruesome looking sprained ankle Parker got. And then the Spurs, you know, it's like they don't miss a beat. They came into Chicago a couple of weeks ago. Popovich sat Duncan, Ginobili, and Parker. I think he left the equipment guy home and the two ball boys as well. But still, Spurs, you know, they move the ball, they play team ball. It's not so much they have a brilliant system or a system others don't have, you know, but they're committed to it and they stay with it. They're unselfish. They got perimeter shooters. They make shots and they stick with the game. All the things Thibodeau talks about, too, and the Bulls do. You defend, you know, you don't just defend the first screen roll. You defend off the ball, that multiple efforts thing. And so that's what they do, and they're, you know, they're so practiced in it, and Popovich is such a good and demanding coach. So they can sustain, you can sustain a while without Parker. The interesting thing to me, they say he'll be out a month, which is a lot. Now, I remember Joakim Noah's sprained ankle, which looked about as severe to me and seemed like the indication, you know, when Parker got hurt was the severity of it, much like it was when Joe got hurt in the third game against the Sixers. Almost from the beginning, I think Bulls were looking at maybe 2 months out, and or extended timeout, and Noah, you know, ended up having to miss the Olympics with France, and so it took well into the summer for hitting him back. And we know all NBA teams all sports teams really are not. Bill Belichick has been the model for this for everybody, sadly enough. But everybody thinks they're going to gain an edge. And so injury reports are not very good anywhere as a result. But if Parker's, you know, not going to be back to, you know, who he was and how he played for 2 months, you know, the first round of the playoffs in the West is going to be, you know, teams down the bottom. You could get the Lakers. Houston's a team, you know, given they've got Oshik, they've got a defensive center. They've got several guys other than Harden, you know, can make plays off the ball. Parsons, obviously Lynn, and of course Harden, what a great closer. So they, you know, they very much can pull an upset. That said, you know, even a team like the Spurs, which I still think can hold on and get the best record in the conference, the number one seed may not, you know, may not be that special. But, you know, always a great game, a tough place to play. You know, they still have Ginobili and Duncan, their depth. They still got big guys. Splitter played well against the Bulls, shooting, and that DiColo, the French point guard, who I thought would be a nice idea to move him short term for Al Jefferson, given the Jazz needed a and there's a clever transition coming too. I'm rolling today. Anyway, so after the Bulls actually had to avoid the Chicago snowstorm, big surprise there, and they left the day early, went down to San Antonio. Return after the San Antonio game, and they've got the Jazz at home on Friday. And it was interesting to see they got that young center, Enes Kanter, who had 23 and 22 the other day. You know, it was against Charlotte, but not everybody gets 23 and 22 against him. It reminded me very much of Oshik playing behind Noah. We wouldn't have known even this season, especially the way Noah's played. And I think Tom Thibodeau, you know, who's been getting, you know, a lot of questioning about minutes played and all, I think he made a valid point. You know, if the Bulls had kept Oshik and Noah's minutes had stayed, say, 30, 28 to 30, he wouldn't have been an all-star. Now, we don't know how important that is, but, you know, Noah legitimately has a chance now, and I think he's the front runner for Defensive Player of the Year, maybe the all-star team. And I think those things kind of help motivate him, and I think it's helped him have the kind of season he's had. But if Oshik was around and Bulls were trying to work him in, you know, maybe Noah's minutes are cut some. But even if they're not, he's still playing 34, 35, so Oshik's maybe playing 12, 15. And he's not going to be getting double-figure rebounds like he is in Houston. And you know, very similarly with the Jazz. He'll go back behind Al Jefferson. Jefferson was out, so he got to start. And when you start, it's different. And people wonder about why Bellinelli plays better when he starts. Well, when you start, you know you're going to be in. You know you're going to be a long time, so you could make some plays, make some mistakes, and not worry about it. It's just a different mentality, and it's easier to start. And it's another reason why players want to start. But, you know, it's obviously those bench roles are important, and my last count is only 5 start. But anyway, the Jazz, I think that's the team that's going to be most in danger if the Lakers make the playoffs or dropping out. I know Golden State's been falling, but they've pretty much finished up the toughest part of their road schedule. Now, they've got a lot of home games. That said, they have some tough teams at the Lakers a few times. I think they got Oklahoma City, so it's not like easy home games. But I think they have a chance to right themselves at home, and they play well at home, got really one of the better home crowds. And the Bulls will be in there toward the end of next week. So the Jazz, you know, who don't play particularly well on the road, but are a desperate kind of team. You know, Millsap and Jefferson are both free agents, so going to get good performances from them. Their issue has been just the lack of a point guard. It's just hard to make plays, and especially at the end of the game when you've got, you know, guys trying to run screen roles without a playmaker, and they really don't. They've played their second-year shooting guard at point, and they've tried any number of players at point guard and you know not had a tremendous amount of success, and so it also affects the others. Gordon Hayward they tried, but it affects Favors some too, and so you know guys are up and down when you're not being able to make plays for them. But that said, the Jazz are a pretty good and deep team, so that's a Friday, and then the Bulls head out west, begin that one week stretch out west, and this big Sunday game with the Lakers. And no, I do not expect Derrick Rose to return for that game. we know he sat on the team bench for the first time against Indiana the other night. I think it was an ESPN broadcast. I think they did get over 100 views of Derrick during the game. I think they saw him. I wasn't sure if he was chewing gum. I think there was a question about whether it was Skittles. Did he blink his eye? Did he wince? And was any of those an indication that he was telling the home audience he was ready to return? So yes, it was getting pretty silly. I think we're getting into the stretch now with Derek, and much as we have to mention the Lakers, we also have to mention Derek. So we're getting into the stretch, you know, for the next couple of weeks now, where I think that, you know, it's probably a decision at some point. You know, you don't want to get into April, where you've got 10 games left, and the Bulls get to April, you've got 10 games left in the season. I don't think you want them coming back playing limited minutes then and then getting into the playoffs. And I've always felt that all season, I've written a number of times, even early, way back when all the predictions were that he's coming back right at the All-Star break, I've always felt it was 50-50. You know, based on what the organization said back in the fall, that he's got to be 100% cleared by the doctors, and Derek had made it clear as well that, you know, he understood that because he was saying, you know, I'm going to have to convince them, and it's going to be tough to convince them and that I'm ready to play. And obviously from his comments a couple of weeks ago in the interviews, you know, he's understanding that it's not easy. And I've watched, you know, I've watched some of his pregame stuff, and they say he's dunking, and I think that's a real encouraging thing. That he has explosion. I think that's a huge thing, and it's very, you know, natural, kind of easy explosion. He's just going up and dunking easily. But he's not landing right, and you can see he's favoring that left leg when he's coming down. If he's doing that now, that suggests to me he's not all that close to playing. And even though he's dunking, you got to watch the rest of the play. And so, you know, he's shooting, traveling with the team, and trying to get back, and this is what this is about. And he's on schedule. You know, we're still about not even 10 months from his surgery. So initial was 8 to 12 months, as I've reiterated here, 8 to 12 months where he could get back on the court, and 12 to 18 months when he should recover to, you know, where he could play 35 minutes. So we're only 10 months in, you know, so it's sort of an average thing. It doesn't suggest, and you know, despite, I know there were some comments from his brother that it's about the team. It's not going to be about that. It's just about his rehab. It's not going to be how the team is doing, good or bad, what the personnel is. It's none of that. It's about physically, if he can play. That's where the organization is. And, you know, I've talked to him enough over the months casually to know that's, you know, that's where he is. He's kind of getting a kick out of all this stuff. You know, he's sort of laughing at all the crazy stuff because, you know, he's a kid who can really focus amazingly well for, you know, someone his age, and, you know, has a good sense about who he is and what he has to do. That said, you know, this is now we hit Bulls just played their 60th game in the loss to Indiana. Good, you know, good game the other night. Played tough with, you know, hardly anybody in the game. Gibson's been out. Hamilton with the back. Heinrich came up with a toe injury. Nate Robinson went out, you know, so they had to play basically the whole fourth quarter with Teague, who, you know, just had a tough, really tough time. But, you know, he hadn't played in so long. I don't blame him at all. He's going to be a really nice player. He's going to be a good player. He's going to be, you know, a player like his brother, who's very good for Atlanta. But just right now, he's just not sure what to do. And, you know, he's in against a team that most are predicting will be in the conference finals with Miami. Now, that said, you know, that's where we are. We're in what is generally considered the stretch run. And, you know, I have to add again, too, I'm supposed to get some guests for this at some point. And I'm working on that. Not hard. I think I'll figure it out. It's more technology. I don't exactly know how this thing works that well. But there's not a lot of people talking. No, that's not true. And so I'll come up with a guest at some point to talk to. But, you know, they'll be more guarded than I will and not as interesting, my view anyway. But that said, this is generally what when you hit the three-quarter mark, 60 games, 61 games, whatever, however you're counting, no math for this podcast. At the last 20 games is a stretch run. And I think, you know, as far as the Eastern Conference is concerned and maybe the whole NBA, it's tough for me to see anybody beating Miami. I mean, not just because they've been on this, you know, winning streak, but the way they play defense, you know, the way LeBron James is playing, forget the comparisons with Jordan or whatever. It's just he's the dominant player in the game. And when you've got the dominant player in the game and you can defend and you've got some depth, you know, Ray Allen helps. Battier's better this year. They're not having to play Mike Miller, who's, you know, was very erratic. You know, they don't rely on Bosch. Whatever they get from him is a positive. They're just really a good team. It's hard for me to see, much like the Bulls in the 90s, that each year there'd be someone different. You say, well, you know, Can Utah beat him? Can the Suns beat him? Portland, and everybody was sort of stood up and took their shot. Indiana, the Knicks, and nobody, you know, they were close, but you know, the great player, the greatest player emerged, and I think that's where LeBron is. But you know, as far as Eastern Conference is right now, I think the playoffs are basically set. Philadelphia was making some noise for a while. Obviously, they've faded quite a bit. Andrew Bynum doesn't look like he's going to come back. He might try to play two games at the end, would be my guess, so he thinks he can ask for an eight-figure deal. Anyone who gives it to them, not shame on them, but you need to be eyes wide open. The guy's been injured his whole career. Feel badly for him. You know, same with Andrew Bogut, you know, the deal Golden State made. Look, you know, when guys get hurt, big guys especially, you know, Gauskas really was the exception. You know, it's going to be things coming up. So, but that said, you know, Philadelphia, it's obviously they've sort of realized where they are, 10 under, kind of given up. Same with Toronto, made a little bit of a run after the trade with Rudy Gay. But, you know, many too many individual players, trading Calderon. You know, Lowry's a good, tough guy, but not really a distributing point guard. So, you know, those two teams have faded out of it. And so now it'll be positioning. And Milwaukee with the Redick deal, I could see them moving up. You know, teams like the Bulls, Atlanta, Brooklyn, and Brooklyn's the one I think it could fall. You know, they're in the midst of just starting a long road trip. They have the circus in now, which, you know, it's always a complaint about the Bulls, but you'd much rather have that circus in November than in March. And so, you know, I can see Milwaukee moving up a little even with the Redick deal. You know, they got a nice three-guard rotation and some scoring up front. And so, you know, they could surprise as well. But, you know, in the East, it's going to be all about, you know, how long could you stay away from Miami, which is would be, you know, eighth spot in the first round. You know, the Bulls will be trying to avoid. Bucks will be trying to avoid. Everybody's going to try to look to avoid, you know, that eighth spot. So somebody's going to, you're going to hope to get hot. You know, Milwaukee, as I said, has got a chance to move up out of that, even though no one's been paying attention to them because, you know, obviously the trading deadline was not very not many major moves, but quietly that Redick deal's a nice deal. That said, and then obviously in the second round, 4-5 is in Miami. But, you know, if you can get a first round win, you know, who knows? And even though Indiana's the favorite, and other than in New York where they always think they're the favorite, and a very flawed New York team now that's gone back to a lot of isolation play, not defending. You know, a lot of the issues we saw before, you know, older players having trouble later in the season. It's still wide open, I think. And obviously, you know, with the Bulls game in Indiana, on a back-to-back, with half the team out, you know, they're still playing for the tie with 10 seconds to go. So, you know, that'd be a heck of a matchup if the Bulls and Pacers can get at it again. But I think you've got, you know, five or six teams that could get to the conference finals in the East. Nobody I've seen, unless, you know, LeBron is not playing, who can beat Miami. And probably no one in the West, you know, with Harden out of Oklahoma City and with Parker's issues. Although, you know, I think San Antonio, with the way they're disciplined, with they spread the ball around, you know, there's different theories about play in Miami. One is, you know, that you want to spread the court and play him small, match him. You know, I think that's why I thought the Bulls had a shot last year, because I think you beat him big. Well, you pound them physically, you out-rebound them because they play small. And San Antonio's got some size, and they can do that. So if they get Parker back, you know, they do have a shot. But, you know, depending on his health, you know, I think you're going to really have an interesting first round, especially because I think, you know, some of those bottom teams, Golden State, Houston, and especially the Lakers, if they happen to make it, you know, can get it. Denver, obviously a great home team. If they get, you know, three or four and get that home court advantage, you know, they're going to be a tough team. So I think the Western Conference playoffs is, you know, really going to be interesting to watch right from the beginning, and looking forward to that, and some potential upsets, even though be questionable, you know, given how well some of the teams at the bottom, like Houston, have played at times, and you know, the ability they have to pull out games. So that said, I'm going to head out into the street, see if I could find somebody who's willing to speak to me, and I would put him or her on here. And if not, I'll be back. I'll probably be back in any case. So it'll be after Lakers next week, on the way to Sacramento and Golden State. I know, having spent most of this winter in Chicago, I'm certainly looking forward to it. And talk to you next week.